You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, January 13th, 2022. I Can't Make You Love Me, Part 2. Kinder Morgan Short and Long-Term Prospects, published by Tom Bureaucry. Over the last decade and a half, oil and gas companies have taken investors on a wild roller coaster ride as their ambitious growth strategies and stock prices have been boosted, then badly battered by volatile demand and commodity prices. With sentiment toward the old-school energy industry turning negative, producers and midstreamers shifted course to emphasize value over volume, prioritizing solid cash flow generation and substantial shareholder returns. Midstream giant Kinder Morgan has found it especially difficult to win back investor confidence despite its largely successful efforts to stabilize its balance sheet, internally fund growth, and gradually restore its dividend. But will that be enough to improve the company's prospects? In today's RBN blog, we draw on more highlights from our recent spotlight report on KMI's portfolio, performance, and near-term growth potential, with an emphasis on the opportunities ahead. We'll begin with a quick recap of part one of this series, where we reviewed the company's history and outlined its new strategic initiatives. Since its founding in 1997, Kinder Morgan has employed a variety of industry-leading structures and strategies, including a master limited partnership, or MLP, a leveraged buyout, an initial public offering, and a consolidation of its holdings into a C-Corp, to grow into a midstream colossus with a market cap that neared $100 billion in early 2015. However, in 2014-15, investors concerned about plunging oil prices began abandoning the sector. KMI's stock price was hit particularly hard, plummeting 66% between the fall of 2014 and the fall of 2015 on concerns about its elevated debt load. Unable to fund future expansion as its stock price cratered and debt soared, the company slashed its dividend by 75% in late 2015 in order to preserve cash to fund its sizable project backlog, which triggered an ice-cold response from shareholders. KMI's management responded with a commitment to stabilize the company's balance sheet, fund growth internally, and rebuild shareholder returns. Since 2016, KMI has slashed debt by 20%, reduced its leverage ratio below its 4.5x target, generated sufficient cash flow to internally fund expansion projects, and instituted a stock buyback program. It has also increased its annual dividend from 50 cents per share to $1.08 per share, and is budgeted to increase the dividend to $1.11 per share in 2022. Despite all these moves, KMI's stock price today is little changed from its price of $16.45 per share on January 1, 2016, and down about $25 per share from its April 2015 peak. Just as worrisome, its stock performance has lagged some major midstream competitors. This performance belies the fact that Kinder Morgan has a portfolio of stable, profitable assets. But, like every large U.S. midstream firm, KMI also has certain legacy assets with revenue streams threatened by declining output and growing unused capacity. Justifying and funding major future organic growth projects is also difficult in today's largely overbuilt midstream infrastructure network. So today we're going to take a more in-depth dive into KMI's portfolio to assess strengths, potential risks, and opportunities for future growth. KMI believes it will continue to benefit from increasing global natural gas demand and that its assets are well positioned to serve growing domestic markets as well as LNG and exports to Mexico. KMI's natural gas assets, which are expected to generate more than 60% of annual EBITDA, earnings before depreciation and amortization, for 2022-24, constitute the largest natural gas pipeline network in North America, carrying approximately 40% of the gas consumed in the U.S., more than 44,000 miles of wholly owned natural gas pipelines, and 27,000 miles in which it owns an equity interest. The gas pipeline segment, which also includes 700 BCF of working gas storage capacity, serves gas supply areas and consumers in the western U.S., Louisiana, Texas, the Northeast, Rocky Mountains, Midwest, and Southeast. About two-thirds of segment earnings come from its interstate pipelines and one-third from its intrastate pipelines, gas gathering and processing assets, and its LNG liquefaction facility in Georgia. More than 80% of the estimated $3.1 billion in 2021 EBITDA from KMI's interstate gas pipeline segment is generated by stable contracts on major pipes such as the 11,760-mile Tennessee Gas Pipeline, or TGP, at $1.3 billion 2021 EBITDA, which transports gas from the Northeast to end-use markets in that region, Louisiana, Texas, the Gulf Coast, and Mexico, and the 10,140-mile El Paso pipeline, at $563 million 2021 EBITDA, that ships San Juan Permian and Anadarko Basin output to the West Coast, Texas, and Northern Mexico. A new source of growth in 2021 and beyond is the Stagecoach System, a $1.2 billion acquisition that KMI closed on in July 2021, which transports and stores natural gas in New York and Pennsylvania. On the downside, natural gas volumes and revenues are falling on pipes serving declining production basins, such as the Barnett, Fayetteville, and several Rocky Mountain plays. Earnings erosion is also possible from FERC rate cases on the major staple pipelines, which may result in lower or higher transportation rates depending on the regulator's determination of pipeline profit levels. See our Different Strokes series on how rates are set. KMI also finds stability in its Texas intrastate pipelines. The Kinder Morgan Texas Pipeline, or KMTP, Kinder Morgan Tejas Pipeline, or Tejas Gulf Coast Express, or GCX, and the Permian Highway Pipeline, or PHP. These four pipelines transport Permian gas to and along the Gulf Coast and reaped approximately $900 million in incremental profits during Winter Storm Uri last February. Excluding this one-time gain, these fully subscribed pipes, the crown jewels in KMI's portfolio, will provide stable earnings representing about 15% of natural gas segment EBITDA going forward. About 11% of gas segment EBITDA comes from KMI's gas gathering and processing systems, where the company is benefiting from increasing volumes in the Williston, Haynesville/Bossier, and KMI's Kinderhawk-Eagleford system, which may more than offset upcoming contract terminations on another major asset, Eagleford Gathering and Processing, which is expected to lose some minimum volume commitments starting in 2023. Stable earnings in 2022-24 are also expected from KMI's interest in the Elba LNG export facility in Georgia, which is supported by a 20-year contract with Shell. Feed gas deliveries to Elba LNG are at a record level, as flows to the Georgia terminal hit full utilization last month for the first time. One of the terminal's 10 mini trains, Unit 2, went offline after a fire in May 2020, before the terminal was completed, and had been offline since, so Elba had never operated at full capacity. We've recently discussed feed gas demand and Unit 2's return in higher and higher. Looking ahead, feed gas demand seems very likely to climb higher this year. Global natural gas prices are still providing strong support for LNG export demand, which will keep existing terminals operating at or even above full contracted capacity whenever physically possible, and there is more commissioning activity still to come. As we said recently in Three's Not Always a Crowd, the U.S. is expected to surpass Qatar and Australia next year and become the world's largest LNG exporter. KMI's $1.6 billion capital project backlog, sharply reduced from $5.7 billion in 2018, includes $500 million to add 1.1 BCF per day in capacity to certain interstate pipelines and the Texas intrastate system, $200 million to add 1.4 BCF per day in pipeline capacity related to LNG exports, and $200 million to expand certain gathering and processing assets, with each project providing incremental revenues. Revenue erosion from assets serving plays outside of the Permian and Haynesville could also be mitigated by stronger-than-expected post-pandemic production recovery spurred by higher natural gas prices. Kinder Morgan currently has no sanctioned major greenfield natural gas growth projects but has discussed future pipelines to serve rapidly growing output in the Permian and Haynesville plays, with the timeline for the Permian project most likely to be moved forward because of more rapid-than-expected increases in gas output. See our blog Fancy Like Permian. In the M&A market, KMI has largely been a seller since 2016 as it prioritized debt reduction, but future opportunistic acquisitions like Stagecoach are possible. KMI's terminal segment, which is expected to generate about 13% of estimated 2021 EBITDA, is another source of stable earnings, with its terminal network on the Houston Ship Channel supported by high utilization rates and enough growth at KMI's petroleum coke, metals, and iron ore terminals to offset declining rates at certain oil and petroleum product facilities. The segment includes 50 refined petroleum product chemical, ethanol, and other liquid terminal facilities, other than those included in the products pipelines business segment, with a combined capacity of 79.7 million barrels, 29 petroleum coke, metal, and ores facilities, and 16 product tankers. KMI's product tankers transport crude oil, condensate, and refined petroleum products and operate under the Jones Act, the federal law that requires goods shipped between U.S. ports to be transported on ships that are built, owned, and operated by U.S. citizens or permanent residents. Earnings from Jones Act tankers declined dramatically due to the impact of the pandemic but are expected to rebound as shipping activity returns to normal. The largest assets in the terminal segment are the company's Gulf Coast Liquids terminals in Galena Park and Pasadena, Texas, which produce about a third of the segment's annual earnings. Its terminal network on the Houston Ship Channel, or HSC, is connected to 29 inbound and 18 outbound pipelines and has 43 million barrels of total capacity. KMI recently announced a $64 million project to add vapor recovery units at its HSC facilities, which will significantly reduce the carbon footprint of that facility. Overall, terminal segment profits are expected to be stable over the next 3 years. After investing $2.1 billion since 2020 on its HSC terminal network, KMI has not allocated significant expansion capital to its terminals segment, with only $100 million in its current project backlog. Two-thirds of that results from a recently signed agreement with Neste to modify 30 tanks and enhance rail, truck, and marine capabilities at its Lower River terminals in Harvey, Louisiana, to add capacity for renewable feedstocks. KMI has $100 million in project spending allocated to its product pipeline segment, with about $44 million to be invested in renewable diesel, or RD, projects in California, including a new rail hub. Future projects could include a new RD terminal in Southern California that would connect marine RD supplies at its Los Angeles Harbor hub to nearby growth areas in what would be the first movement of pure RD by pipeline. As we recently pointed out in our RD drill down report, the renewable diesel is primed for growth. The company is actively looking for opportunities to convert more of its existing facilities to serve the growing RD and renewable feedstock markets. Another business segment that can benefit from recent energy transition trends is carbon dioxide, CO2, which is expected to generate about 7% of 2021 EBITDA. The segment produces, transports, and markets CO2 for use in enhanced oil recovery, or EOR, as a flooding medium for recovering crude oil from mature oil fields. The segment also includes KMI's ownership interest in several oil-producing fields and a crude oil pipeline, all located in the Permian Basin, as well as the company's recent purchase of Kinetrex Energy, which focuses on capturing and marketing renewable natural gas, or RNG. Check out our map of the CO2 pipelines and producing fields here. The assets of Kinetrex Energy, which KMI purchased for $310 million in 2021, include two small-scale domestic LNG production and fueling facilities, a 50% interest in a landfill-based RNG facility in Indiana, and commercial agreements for three additional RNG facilities. KMI has allocated $146 million to build three more RNG facilities, which should result in a significant increase in segment earnings when they enter service by the first quarter of 2023. KMI's new energy transition ventures team is aggressively seeking additional RNG investments. Over the longer term, the company is investigating carbon capture and sequestration, or CCS, projects to take advantage of its existing CO2 infrastructure and expertise. Revenues from oil and gas production represent about two-thirds of estimated 2021 earnings in this segment. Kinder Morgan has been reducing capital expenditures on these mature fields, which is expected to result in declining production and declining volumes on KMI's CO2 pipeline, which serves the Permian Basin. However, the resulting drop in earnings will be somewhat mitigated by the recent increase in oil prices. To summarize, KMI's current conservative financial discipline to minimize risks and generate cash flow is designed to woo shareholders seeking stable returns on their investments. The company's significant natural gas infrastructure, which offers exposure to the fastest-growing production regions as well as domestic, international, and LNG export demand, provides opportunities for major growth projects in the long run. Additional growth could come from the company's aggressive exploration of energy transition initiatives. Our recent spotlight report on Kinder Morgan contains a comprehensive description of the company's portfolio as well as asset-level EBITDA forecasts for all the company's product segments. It also contains East Daily's projections for future revenues, cash flow generation, capital expenditures, and debt and coverage ratios. I Can't Make You Love Me was written by Mike Reed and Alan Shamblin, and is the third track on Bonnie Raitt's 11th studio album, Luck of the Draw. Raitt's vocal performance on the song was done on the first take. She thought that the feel and authenticity for the sad song wouldn't be duplicated if they tried for a perfect take later. The song was released as the third single from Luck of the Draw in October 1991 and went to number 6 on the Billboard Adult Contemporary chart and number 18 on the Billboard Hot 100. In November 2016, the song was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. Luck of the Draw was recorded at Ocean Way Recording, Capitol Studios and Conway Studios in Los Angeles, with Bonnie Raitt and Don was producing. The LP was released in June 1991 and went to number 2 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. 3 charting singles were released from the album, and it has been certified 7X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. The album was dedicated to Stevie Ray Vaughan, who had recently died in a helicopter accident following a show in Wisconsin. More than 40 musicians were involved in the recording of the LP, which featured Raitt on lead and backing vocals, electric, slide and acoustic guitars, and electric piano. The second cut from the album, Good Man, Good Woman, was a duet with Delbert McClinton, and also appeared on his Never Been Rocked Enough album. The song won a Grammy Award in 1992 for Best Rock Performance by a Duo. Luck of the Draw won a Grammy Award for Best Female Rock Vocal Performance, and the single from the album Something to Talk About won a Grammy Award for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance in 1991. Bonnie Raitt is an American blues singer, guitarist and songwriter. She has released 17 studio albums, 1 live album, 3 compilation albums and 29 singles. Raitt has won 11 Grammy Awards and 1 Americana Music Award, and was awarded an honorary Doctorate of Music degree from Berklee College of Music. She also has received the Harvard Arts Medal and a Lifetime Achievement Award from the National Guitar Museum, and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2000. She still records and tours.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.